live and local. This is Acadiana's sports station. 103.7 The Game.
The Houston Astros are world champions.
Streaming live on 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
It is a safe touchdown.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day.
Call us up at 337-706-0111.
I like this kind of party.
Now, here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
You know what day it is. It's, Friday, June the 11th, the year 2021. We're here for the next 2 hours, and it's great to be with you. My main man, CD, back in the First South Farm Credit Studios, taking care of business in the Master Control Suite. Yours truly here, Studio 1A, as we come to you live and in living color each and every day. From 2 to 4 here on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Simulcast on Stadium 32.3, 133 on LUS. Tigers are in Knoxville. We'll head to Knoxville at around 2:15. Bill Franquez will join us as the Tigers get ready to try to win two to get to Omaha. Yes, indeed. Blake Ruffino of the Are You Serious podcast. We'll talk all things LSU. We'll talk football, baseball, we'll tiddlywinks. We'll talk all of it. George Faust will lead us off in hour number two. Fridays with Fausti. Jeff Duncan from The Athletic follows him. Then we always wrap up a Friday with George Becknell, CD, and myself, and we just bandy about. Now, my buddy Glenn Gilbo of Gannett and the Daily Advertiser talked about the latest in the LSU baseball search that began May 28th with the announcement that Paul Maneri would retire at the end of the season. The big story this week was former Oregon State coach Pat Casey. As you heard in the two-minute drill, he had three national championships in 06, 07, and 18. He fits the Scott Woodward mold. You know, Kim Mulkey, national championship winning coach. Jimbo Fisher, a national winning football coach, went from Florida State to Texas A&M when Woodward was the Aggies AD. But age, family obligations, and that controversy around pitcher Luke Heimlich seems to have taken Casey out of the running. Never thought it would happen. Tim Corbin is being mentioned, the Vanderbilt coach. I don't know if Tim Corbin works in Baton Rouge. Very stoic, very serious he appears. Very good coach. He's won two national championships with a runner-up through four College World Series at Vanderbilt since his arrival back in 2003. He's 59 years young. I just don't see that one. Mike Bianco, the Ole Miss Rebel head coach, played for LSU, was an assistant under Skip Bertman for three national titles, 93, 96, 97. He's done a terrific job at Ole Miss. They've made 17 NCAA tournament appearances and seven super regionals under Bianco since 2001. One caveat is that in this one is Bianco said he would never coach his son in college. Drew is a junior for the Tigers. Yeah, we'll see. We will see on that. Cliff Godwin is another coach from East Carolina. He's the youngest candidate, it appears, at 43. He's in his seventh season at ECU. He was a hitting coach under Paul Maneri for his first two seasons at LSU in 07 and 08. He coached under him previously at Notre Dame. East Carolina has reached three super regionals before him. He is now in his third super regional in seven seasons. Then a name I hadn't heard about, Glenn Gilbo mentioned Louisville coach Dan McConnell. He's 50 years old. He arrived in 2007 from an assisting job under Bianco at Ole Miss. Louisville had never reached Omaha. He's taken the Cardinals there five times, including his first season, and in 2019. Louisville had reached one NCAA postseason before him. He has gone 12 times. So we shall see. Time will tell. They all say they're happy where they are. Of course they do. But that's to the mass media who knows when the phone rings what they say there. So I don't expect a coach to be named for quite some time. We shall see. We shall see. LSU track and field. The women will have their is it the women or the men? The men have their finals today, and they've done tremendously well on the men's side. They've advanced four runners to today's finals in a total of five events. Damian Thomas in the 110-meter hurdles, Terrence Laird in the 100 meters, Noah Williams in the 400 meters, Sean Burrell in the 400 meters, and Terrence Laird again, this time in the 200 meters. The biggest news for the men was in the field events. Javon Harrison, no surprise, wins the long jump. But in a surprise, freshman Tazerdiel Pettigo won the javelin. So right now, with six of the 21 events scored, LSU's men have 24 points. They have currently have a commanding lead, 7 points ahead of second place Mississippi State, 10.5 points ahead of Kansas. Final rounds are today, and hopefully they'll bring home a national title by tonight. The women will have their chances on Saturday. But a shout out to Lisa Gunnarsson, who won the pole vault national title with a leap of 14 feet, 5 2/4 inches. She became the first woman in NCAA history to complete the indoor-outdoor sweep since 2010. So she's done terrific. Right now, the women are in fifth place with 10 points, trailing Georgia's at first with 20, Oregon with 14. So let's see if the women can kick it up a little bit and get it going. But that's certainly a chance for both squads to win a national championship. In the NBA last night, a throwback game. My goodness, the Milwaukee Bucks got their first win in the series against the Brooklyn Nets. They jumped out to a 30-11 lead. Brooklyn came back, outscored Milwaukee 31-15 in the second frame, and then it was close throughout. The Bucks get the win 86-83. Durant led the Nets with 30. Kyrie Irving had 22. And for the Bucks, it was Giannis Antetokounmpo with 33. And Chris Middleton had 35. So 2-1 in favor of the Nets on that one as the series shifted to Milwaukee. They'll have game four coming up later. In Utah, game two against the L.A. Clippers. The Jazz win it 117-111. They just got a bunch of really, really, really good shooters. They made 42 of 76 from the field, 55%. They were 20 of 39 from downtown, 51%. Clarkson comes off the bench, goes 6 for 9 for downtown for 24, and Donovan Mitchell leads the way with another 37-point performance. Wow. Joe Ingles, what a player. 19 points, 4-7 from downtown, 7 of 10 overall. They just have really, really good shooters. Are you listening to me, Pels? Are you listening to me? Please listen to me. Please. Women's College World Series set a record with over 2 million viewers for game number two in prime time. I don't know what the ones were yesterday, but Oklahoma gets the win. Another national championship in softball for the Sooners. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So that's some of what we have. Let me tell you what we have in store for you. I already did tell you what we have in store. We're going to go out to Knoxville in just a minute and get the show on the road as per the norm. Bill Franquez, the voice of Alec Box Stadium, and the color commentator when the Tigers go on the road on the LSU Sports Radio Network will join us, and we'll delve into that. Don't forget, we've got LSU baseball right here on 103.7 The Game as they take on the Tennessee Volunteers in the NCAA Knoxville Super Regional. The opening game of the series is on Saturday with pregame coverage beginning at 5:30 and first pitch set for 6. And you can listen to all the exciting action right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. We're presented each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. There are 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They're in your neighborhood. The best prices you'll find anywhere. Safe, clean environment. The cleanest restrooms you'll ever find. That Bourbon Street Deli is open all the time. They've got everything. You really can shop right at ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. How nasty is it going to get in Knoxville? The ticket sold out in 2 hours. Premium prices. You know Tiger fans know how to get a hold of tickets, but it's going to be a sea of orange on good old Rocky Top. We'll head out there. Bill Franquez will join us as we start our coverage of the Knoxville Super Regional Tigers and the Vols. So team that wins two punches their ticket to Omaha and the College World Series. How many of you actually gave LSU a shot a month ago? I didn't. I really didn't. But they figured out a way. They're playing really well at the right time. Tennessee's a really good team. This could be a this could be a great one. So let's head out to Knoxville. Timeout on the floor. The Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com. We're simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS. Come on back.
Back and better than ever. You're locked into the Jordy Holtberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and the free mobile app.
All right, welcome back. Thank goodness we're not trying to play baseball today in Knoxville because, according to my weather report, it is raining like crazy. In fact, LSU was going to have a Zoom conference call with Paul Menary and several players. That had to be pushed back. But let's head out to Knoxville where our good friend, the legendary figure of LSU baseball, the voice of Alec Box Stadium, the longtime sports information director in charge of baseball, and our good friend, Bill Franquez, joins us. Bill, you staying dry, buddy? How are you?
Well, yeah, Jordy, actually, the rain here at the park has stopped. Actually, the sun is broken through the clouds just as the team arrived here at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. They were originally scheduled to practice at 1:45 Central Time, but the practice got moved back to about 2:35. So we're hoping to start practice in, you know, about 15 minutes or so, okay. And they'll work out for about an hour and a half, and then head back to the hotel. And it's a little different this year. Normally when we come to Knoxville, we stay in one of the downtown hotels near campus. For this regional, we've been placed out about 12 miles west of campus. So it's a little bit of a hike to get here. But the team's in good shape. They're feeling confident and looking forward to we think will be a very intense and very competitive weekend super regional.
It's nice that back in 2019, I'm reading where they converted Lindsey Nelson Stadium and the field, they converted from a natural grass to a field turf.
Yeah.
Take me back. It seems like eons ago, and LSU baseball was kind of in its infancy when they last went to Knoxville. We know that the Volunteers swept the series by a total combined run differential of only four. I know there was a limitation on how many fans could be there, but all the players say that there weren't that many fans, so you could actually hear everything they were saying.
Right.
And apparently it got a little nasty, huh?
Yeah, it was a little spicy, Jordy, both with the fans and with some of the Tennessee players as well. I got to watch what I say here. I'm in a Tennessee press box, but. But yeah, it did get a little heated, let's just say, between the fans being involved, the Tennessee players also rather vocal, maybe expressing some not so complimentary thoughts toward the LSU dugout. So yeah, things did get heated and things did get a little contentious. But you know, the fact that LSU lost the series, the players realized, like, there's not much we can say. You know, we lost three games. We just got to put that behind us, and they did. And they got off to that 1-8 SEC start. You may remember that Tennessee sweep put us at 1-5. Next week, Vanderbilt comes to the box and sweeps us again. So two straight sweeps and we're 1-8, and most people have said the season's over. But credit to these guys. They've rebounded and put themselves in this position, and they feel very confident that they can play with this Tennessee club. I mean, Tennessee's got a great club, and they're the number three national seed. Mm-hmm. But this team, Jordy, as you alluded to, has grown so much and developed so much. And it's a whole different ball club than the one we saw in late March the first time we came in Knoxville. But, of course, on the other hand, I'm sure Tennessee has obviously gotten better as well. So this could be a great, even better and more closely contested series than the one in the regular season.
You know, you've arrived in the SECs when you're on the bus and you're heading to the venue, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball, and you're on the road and the homestanding fans are out there and they're giving you the middle finger salute. That's when you know you've arrived, because you've gotten in their heads and they don't like you because you're so darn good. And LSU's been an elite baseball program for more than 30 years. Tennessee's had ups and downs, mostly downs. They're kind of the... I call it the Baton Rouge Country Club versus the Country Club of Louisiana. Baton Rouge Country Club is that old money. It's been there a long time.
I hear you.
Country Club of Louisiana is kind of that new money. They're the new kids on the block. And that kind of reminds me of LSU and Tennessee.
Right, exactly. You know, Jordy, Tennessee had some success back in the mid-90s to mid-2000s under former coach Rod Delmonico. They actually went to the College World Series three times in that period. They went in 95, in 01, and in 05.
Is that when Todd Helton was playing?
That's right. Todd Helton, I believe, was part of that 1995 team, that first College World Series team.
Okay.
And they had some other great players. R.A. Dickey, you may remember him. He was a big-time pitcher for Tennessee, went on to a long major league career. And they had kids like Chris Burke, who was a SEC MVP in 01. And of course, Chris Burke, most fans recognize him now as one of the ESPN college baseball announcers. So they had some great players in the Delmonico era, and it did go to Omaha three times during that time. But since 05, Tennessee's been pretty quiet as far as postseason baseball is concerned. Before Tony Vitello started coaching here in 2018, Tennessee hadn't even made an NCAA tournament appearance. Between 05 and 2019, Vitello's second year was the first time they'd even been in a regional since that 05 College World Series season. So Vitello's done a great job in really reinvigorating the program. He has a very talented ball club. They actually lead the SEC in team ERA. They've hit over 90 home runs this year. I mean, they excel in all facets of the game, and that's why they're the number three national seed.
Is Bill Franquez, the Tigers and the Volunteers. Everyone that I've talked to, I've talked to Todd Walker, I've talked to Ben McDonald, they said the one thing that LSU can't do is have a repeat of what they did in Knoxville, and that is walking a lot of volunteer hitters.
Exactly.
19 walks over that three-game series. You can't do that.
No, it's ironic. You know, Jordy, you look at the stats from that series, LSU out-hit Tennessee 31-20. Tigers had 11 more hits, but you're right, those 19 walks issued by Tiger pitching really damaged LSU's chances to win those ball games. And I think the LSU pitching staff is much improved. But those young kids who were on the road in the SEC for the first time are now much more mature. Kids like Garrett Edwards, Javen Coleman, and Will Helmers. You know, they've been through SEC games. They've been through intensity-packed regional games now. So I think they're going to be more comfortable in this environment. Although, last time we were here, as you said, that the capacity was limited. But this time, we're going to have a full house. The stadium seats over 4,200. I think with standing room, they're probably going to at least be over 5,000 people here. It's going to be a big deal. Again, this team has competed in hostile environments. I go back to that Ole Miss series in late April. Ole Miss had over 11,000 people there. And as you'll remember, LSU should have swept that series, 1-2 out of 3. But I think the young pitchers are going to be more comfortable, better acclimated to this level of competition than they were back in late March.
Bill Franquez in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm sure Paul hasn't announced who's going to get the ball on Saturday. If you had to guess, because Marceau came in on that that final game in the regional and was called upon there. AJ Labus has had a lot of rest, and it's a flip of a coin, right? You know, maybe you want to save your ace for the second game. Either way, the first one goes. Either you have him there to win the super regional, or you have him there to keep the super regional alive. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. What do you think LSU's leaning?
I think you're on the right track there, Jordy. I'll say that. I think the way you're thinking may be the way Coach Mineri's thinking. In fact, he told us that he plans to announce his starter after practice today. So I guess within about an hour and a half or so, he should be making that announcement. Of course, Mikhail Hilliard would also be in the mix as well. So I think it's either Hilliard or Labus, and then Marshall will start on Sunday would be what I think Coach Mineri is leaning toward doing. But we'll know for sure soon. As you said, I mean, you know, Marceau Pitt threw 147 pitches last weekend in Oregon. He threw 101 in the start against Gonzaga on Friday, and then threw another 46 pitches in the regional final win over Oregon on Monday night. So he may need a little extra time to recuperate. I think Coach Dunn and Coach Mineri are going to look at Landon today at practice to see how he feels and then make a final decision. But I'm like you. I think more than likely we'll see Marceau on Sunday and either Labus or Hilliard tomorrow night.
I tell you what, Baton Rouge is a buzz, man. This is bringing back some really good feelings.
That's great.
In the entire state. There's going to be a lot of fingernail biting between now and 6 o'clock local time for this game. I know it's going to be a capacity crowd. They've got the T-shirts, which doesn't bother me. Retire Mineri. They just want to win.
Yeah.
They want to go to the World Series. I don't blame them for that.
Sure.
But it might be fun if we take the ball yard. What kind of celebration we're going to have? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, Jordy. I went over here today. It reminded me, and you know, not to say that that LSU will have the same success that our football team did back in 2001. But you remember the 2001 SEC championship game? LSU played Tennessee. LSU was a huge underdog. Tennessee had already, their fans already made plans to go to the Rose Bowl to play in the national championship game. And LSU behind Matt Mock and all those guys have sprung a huge upset. It kind of reminds me of that. I hope we have a similar success.
You're right. Yeah.
the 01 football team did.
So did y'all get any middle finger salutes when y'all were pulled up to the stadium? Did they have some Tennessee fans there to greet you?
No, it's pretty quiet around here right now. You know, normally on game day, I'm sure we will. There are several fraternity houses right, literally steps away from the stadium. And those guys are usually pretty rowdy when we arrive. So I'm sure they'll be extra rowdy tomorrow when the team gets here. But right now, you know, things are quiet. I'm up in the press box right now and watching practice from up here. And, yeah, not a whole lot of orange here yet, but it's going to get pretty feisty later.
And we can't keep having these errors, man. We got to play better fundamental defense. You know what I mean?
Well, that was you're right, Joey. That was the only real detriment in Oregon. I believe we finished with 8 errors in the regional, and I guess some of that can be attributed to the field, the all turf field in Oregon. That field, kind of surprisingly, that turf seemed to be very worn and very matted down, and the ball really jumped off it off that turf, especially obviously in the infield. So I think our infielders have some issues in fielding the baseball, but I think this turf is a little fresher, a little softer. And hopefully, as I recall, LSU played pretty good defense here last time we were here. So hopefully that won't be an issue this time.
Well, it's supposed to rain off and on throughout the evening and into the morning hours, but it's supposed to get out of there. So with that turf field, we should be good to go. You need me to get you a quick reservation at Calhoun's, my friend?
Sure. Whatever you can do. Although, I will say, though, Calhoun's, they're wonderful. They catered the Tigers' meal yesterday at the hotel. You know, again, 12 miles away, Calhoun's catered the meal, and it was fabulous.
Wow.
So, yeah, we got a little taste of Calhoun's, even though we were away from downtown.
We had an SEC basketball tournament, and I was doing the games, and they took us over there. They have some interesting little fun things that you can do as far as libations are concerned. it'd be right in your wheelhouse, my boy.
I'm sure it would.
Wheelhouse, but all right. Well, go have a great practice, and if Paul announces who's going to be the starting pitcher, if you can remember to text message me that, because I'll be right in the middle of my show. I'll make the announcement. How about that?
Okay. That sounds great.
All right. Bill, you're the best, man. Good luck. Have a great call of the game. I don't care if it takes two or three. Let's just win two of them. Whatever it takes, and go have fun, and let's keep this Cinderella thing going, all right?
Absolutely, Jordy. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. You take care. Bill Franquez in Knoxville. Tigers are getting ready to practice right now. They'll have a Zoom press conference immediately after that at about 4 o'clock our time. So we will probably off the air. I really believe, I think Labus is going to be, if I had to guess, I think Labus will get the ball on Saturday, and I think they'll save Marceau for Sunday. Just a guess. Just a guess. I may be totally wrong, but I might be right. We'll see. All right. We'll take our second time out of the day, excuse me. Blake Ruffino, are you serious? More on the LSU baseball coaching search and other things pertaining to Tiger Town when we return this Friday edition. Friday, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Simulcast Stadium, 32.3, 133 LUS.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Hi, we are back. Happy Friday, June the 11th to you and yours. Always fun with our next guest from the Are You Serious podcast, Mr. Blake Ruffino. Kind enough to join us, Blake. How you been, buddy? Who are you in a Twitter war with now? You always seem to be in a war with somebody. I love it.
I don't know if I'm in a Twitter war, but just disagreeing with one Kendall Rogers.
Why?
Well, Kendall says, or has said this past week, that Kevin O'Sullivan was the lead candidate for LSU. That was not true. He also talked about Pat Casey was the lead candidate, and then people at LSU trying to confirm that, I was told, was not true. So just, you know, trying to get the facts correct, that is why I kind of said something to Kendall Rogers.
Okay, that's fair. Who do you think is the lead candidate, or do you think they've even – gotten that far down the road yet?
Jordy, this has been one of the more interesting coaching searches that, at least in my 4 years of doing this, have been, it's just been interesting. You know, some people in LSU say it's, you know, they don't have a lead candidate. Some people say this person, some people say that person. So I honestly, if I told you somebody right now,
yeah,
I think that I would be lying. Well, I know I'd be lying. So I can't give you right now a firm guy that is going to be the person. Now, I will tell you, I do believe the next head coach is playing right now. I think that coach is in the Super Regionals. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. You know, I've talked to some former players, you know, former players under Skip Bertman. They really want Mike Bianco. I mean, that's just their guy. They thought Mike might have been passed over the first time. But, look, I mean, Skip, if he wanted one of his ex-players, he could have easily hired him back in 2007,
that's right.
2008.
That's right.
So I don't know how, you know, they might want him, but I don't know if, you know, would Mike Bianco be a candidate if he never went to LSU? No, he wouldn't. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Tim Corbin's an interesting guy whose name's come up a couple of times. You know, the advantages that he has at Vanderbilt, I just don't see how he could leave there. You know, he gets all the minority scholarships, and he has a whole bunch of scholarships that Vandy give out. So I just don't know. You know, he could have upwards of 20 to 23 full scholarships where LSU, you can't have that. I mean, I know LSU has tops, but that's not the same.
I, I don't know Tim Corbin. See. I mean, obviously he's been a very successful coach, but it just doesn't seem like he's got that personality that would fit here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. You know what changes personality? Winning. You know, Nick Saban doesn't have a personality for anybody, but he wins.
Yeah.
I agree with you. He doesn't have that pulmonary type of energy. He's not good with the media. But here's the truth. He also doesn't have media in his face 24/7 like Mannary does.
Right.
I don't think that these coaches understand, you know, and I've talked to a couple of them, and I just don't think that they understand, like, what do you mean I got to do a press conference after every game? Like, some of them didn't grasp that. So it's just interesting to hear some say that. So, you know, we'll see. I know that, you know, in your neck of the woods, people have been calling for Jeff Willis, but I'm just going to tell you right now, that ain't happening.
I don't think he wants to go. I think he's very content with where he is. Yeah, I think, but boy, I tell you what, he's an impressive man, and he sure does win a lot of baseball games where he is.
That he does.
All right, Blake Ruffino, the Are You Serious podcast. LSU football got camps going on. This is when all the analysts and the grad assistants make their money. They got kids coming in by the droves, paying their way to come see it. What are you hearing about the new offensive line coach, Mr. Brad Davis, and his recruiting acumen to date?
Yeah, I've known Brad for a long time, just being a former offensive lineman. And look, I know a guy, we kind of broke the story, was a guy that we knew, Cody Kennedy, who played with me at Southeastern, is now the new O-line coach at Arkansas. So kind of a trickle-down effect. And just asking him about Coach Brad Davis, he told me he's a great technician. He knows how to teach kids how to be very technical. And kids across the country know him. And they love the recruiting. I mean, look, the 1 year he was at Florida, that offensive line was really stellar. They had a couple of guys drafted that no one thought had a chance of getting drafted. I just think he's a good coach. From a recruiting standpoint, you know, Jordy, it's interesting. A lot of people talk about him being a good recruiter, but he hasn't been in one place for long enough to see the fruits of his labor. Now, we do see the kids that he recruited and what they've done. You know, we see the kids at Arkansas and all the line, but some people will credit that to Sam Pittman, but the head coach doesn't recruit like a position coach does. So I think that he's done good in recruiting, but, you know, the whole thing with James Craig, well, he wasn't a good recruiter. Yeah, well, he had four guys that made NFL starts from that 2019 team. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I hope hopefully he'll be here for a while. And then that can tell you a little bit more, but I really like the hire.
That's the classic case of Craig was the greatest guy ever in 2019. Now he's out the door, and everybody say, "Oh, he was terrible. He couldn't recruit, couldn't coach." But when he's here, everybody loves him. And it's just the nature of the beast. So anyway, back to baseball. How nasty you think it's going to get? Tennessee's like the new kids on the block. They ain't been there, done that, but they sure are reveling in their success right now. And I think Paul and inadvertently and maybe accidentally opened up a serious can of worms by saying that.
Good. I mean, look, Paul, the two best things that could have happened to this baseball team were two words that were given by Paul Mannary. I'm retiring, right? Mm-hmm. A young team is starting to come. They're starting to focus more. And I think that that's carrying them. And I think that he's always been good at pushing the right buttons at the right time. That's what, you know, we sit back and we think to ourselves, you know, Paul has been a really good coach. He hasn't been a bad coach.
Right.
I think it's going to get feisty, but I think you're going to have about 600 to 650 LSU fans in the stadium this weekend, Jordy. So, yeah, they're going to have more, but you're going to have some really good and energetic LSU fans there, too. Look, the Road Dogs, as they've called themselves.
Right.
Wouldn't it be interesting if this team could get to find a way to get to Omaha? I feel, you know, it's still a lot of speculation, but I feel that this team can win this series and progress and get to Omaha. And let me tell you something: if they get to Omaha, they could upset some people now. But they got to take it one game at a time. I like how the pitching staff, you know, other than the last game against Oregon, the pitching staff has been really locked in. People think, you know, well, they gave up three or four runs. Well, that's today's baseball.
Right.
But they've gotten critical strikeouts, critical double plays. Guys like Jaden Coleman have come in and looked really good. Mikel Hiriad stepped up. So I like their chances in this series, but it's going to be very chippy. And if you're not I think these kids are ready to go. And Jordy, it's really hard to beat a team five times in a row. Very, very difficult, especially in baseball.
I'm with you.
So I think that LSU could – they could look up in game one, and they might steal one.
I'm of the belief, and I have no inside, and you know, I just talked with Bill Franquez in Knoxville. I'm of the belief that Marceau gets the ball Sunday, not Saturday, mm-hmm. but Sunday. You save your ace either to win the Super Regional outright or to try and save it to go to a third and deciding game. What are your thoughts along those lines?
Yeah, I agree with that. And because he came in against Oregon, give him another day.
Yeah.
If Mikel Hilliard's ready to go, you give him the ball. Because AJ Labus, when you know what's hit the fan, he's come in and looked really good.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like Labus needs stuff to hit the fan, you know? Like, he needs stuff to go bad. You know, we remember the Ole Miss series. Jordy, if they lose that series, then we're looking at LSU being 2-10 in the SEC.
Yeah, the season's already over. They don't even – they're done. Right. They're done.
And then look what he did this past weekend. So, I agree. If it were me – now, I don't have any sourcing on this, just some rumblings. I would go Mikel Hilliard tomorrow. I would go Marceau Sunday, and then I'd go Labus. And I'm going to tell you something, Jordy. I don't know if Javon Coleman doesn't get in one of these games. If you have Mikel Hilliard, let's say he throws 3, 4, 5 innings. Okay, could you see him? Could you see a Javon Coleman come in and give you some significant innings there?
Yeah.
I think what that kid did last weekend, you could definitely do that. And then if you need a situation where, let's just say hypothetically, you're up by one run and Fontenot has thrown two straight nights, could you bring in the Mikel Hilliard again if Coleman took the last 4 or 5 innings? We'll have to wait and see. But I fully think that Mikel Hilliard, just from that standpoint and the nerves. You know, people ask Jordy, why did Mikel Hilliard only throw an inning? But, you know, talking to guys like Zach Pearson, he went in there, a senior, and calmed the nerves of everyone, even in that one inning. 1, 2, 3, bang, bang, bang. And then LSU was off to the races. He's a very composed young man, and I really like that he's really turned it up in the later part of his senior season.
Helmers was pretty dadgum good, too.
That's another one.
Two innings. So I just think it's much more manageable than the SEC tournament and certainly more than the regional. And if yes, it's fewer games, but, boy, if you can get through this with those arms, you get to the College World Series, there's a lot of rest between games. Boy, you can really manipulate your pitching staff. So I think they've gotten through the toughest part with your pitching. The key is just don't walk people like they did in Knoxville. I mean, there was just too many walks, and they can't keep getting these, I call it unforced errors like in basketball, but they can't keep getting errors like they do. They got to get better defensively here.
Yeah, they do. And look, Jordy, I will give up a little bit of, you know, if you would have told me going into the region, would you rather have a couple of errors that are unexpected or much better pitching. I mean, look, like you talked about, Helmers came in, and I thought that the Oregon game, everybody was complaining about how Maneri maneuvered his lineup, but our pitching staff, I thought it was perfect because you gave Oregon a couple runs, you threw some guys out there, you just ate some innings up. I think that he's done a very good job of managing this pitching staff and when he goes and gets guys. I mean, that look, and even even more so, I wish they had a gun on that kid in Oregon because that last game, he was easily throwing mid-90s. He gave it everything that he had. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you only have you got two games, okay, two games, and that's all you got right now. Yeah, you can get to a third one, but it's much more easier, as you talked about, than it was this past weekend. I'm really intrigued. And look, you've seen this team before. You've played on a turf field last weekend, and you have a feel of it.
So point.
I think that there's a lot
good
of point. Things that's working in LSU's favor, and so it's really going to be fun to watch this team tomorrow.
Yeah, just for you and me, I hate turf fields. I like grass. I understand. I understand why you do it. The rain, the elements, and all that. You want to get game. It makes perfect sense. I still don't like it, but there you go. So I'm in agreement with you. I think the next LSU baseball coach is one of the 16 coaches that are out there in these super regionals, and I think they will get the guy that they believe can continue to keep this train going. For 30 years, it's been the elite program in college baseball, and I said this earlier. It kind of, if you're from where I am living, it reminds me of the Baton Rouge Country Club, LSU, and the Country Club of Louisiana, Tennessee. That Baton Rouge Country Club, man, that thing's been around, man. It's old, established, inherited money. Old-time money.
And
Country Club of Louisiana is the newbies, right? It's that newfound wealth.
Right, and let me tell you something. Ain't nothing better than that the Country Club of Baton Rouge. Nothing better than that roast beef po' boy they have on Saturdays. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'll demolish one of them things, Jordy.
And a beautiful golf course.
So good. But, look, here LSU's playing with house money, okay? They got nothing to lose. Yeah, well, Paul Maneri, but they've got nothing to lose. Nobody thought that they were going to get in the Supers. Nobody. I'll say this. This should show everyone just how dominant the SEC is in baseball. A 13-17 team in conference in LSU beat a regional host, two regional
in their
hosts,
backyard.
Swept them in Louisiana Tech and Oregon. Think about that, Jordy. And they went 13-17 in the SEC.
Yeah,
impressive. I mean, it's just how crazy and good this SEC is. Look, if Tennessee would have dominated LSU the first time they played them, I'd be nervous, but one run and then a rain out and then they go doubleheader on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Look, this is a very winnable series, and I'm very looking forward to watching LSU.
Me too.
I
haven't been this excited about a baseball situation in a long time. I'm really looking forward to it. And you're an athlete. I was an athlete. There was nothing better. Yeah, you love to play at home in front of your home crowd. But I'm telling you, nothing better than going on the road in a hostile environment and beating somebody's butt. That's the greatest.
Yeah, I remember when we played Mississippi State and the cowbells was the first time I experienced it. And I tell you, I couldn't really think. And then the next year, you know, we went to Ole Miss and then the Grove and, two SEC schools that I played at. And I'm like, man, I'll tell you what, I've been in Tiger Stadium. I've been all across the SEC. Ain't nothing worse that gave me a headache than them stupid cowbells. I'll tell you that right now. So
nothing better
but
than
that. It's going to be interesting. You get focused, Jordy, when you're on the road, right? You and I both know. There's a different level of focus that good teams have on the road than they do at home. At home, you can kiss your mama, your girlfriend, and go out to eat and all that kind of, get Eddie's custard, all that kind of stuff. But when you're on the road, you're focused. At least I was. So I kind of like that this young team's on the road.
Us against the world. Blake Ruffino, Are You Serious Podcast. Thank you, man. Have a great weekend. And we will be back to wrap up our number one next.
best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com.
All right, the Astros are heating up. You can be a part of the exciting action with 1037 The Game's Astros Weekend Getaway. Register in 1037 The Game's Clubhouse for a chance to score four tickets and a $2,200 Visa gift card for Houston's home game against the Chicago White Sox Saturday, June 19th. Make sure to... Oh, it's already done? It's already done. Never mind. Cancel that. So congratulations to the winner. Congratulations to the winner on that. We'll have another one down the road. It's brought to you by Book Your AC, J&J Exterminating, and 1037 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. Coming up, hour number two, George Faust from KLFY, Jeff Duncan from All Things The Athletic, and George Becknell and CD and I will pick some super regional winners, six SEC teams involved. We'll give you the winners of those, plus a whole lot more. We're brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You really can shop right at ShopRite. Hour number two, straight ahead. The Jordy Helpert Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, simulcast on Stadium 32.3, LUS 133.
Live and local. This is Acadiana's sports station, 1037 The Game.
The Houston Astros are world champions.
Streaming live on 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
It is a safe touchdown.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day.
Call us up at 337-706-0111.
I like this kind of party.
Now, here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
All right, it's hour number two of two, and away we go on this Friday, June the 11th, the year 2021. If you missed hour number one, we took you out to Knoxville, Tennessee, site of the Super Regional between Tennessee and LSU. That gets underway tomorrow, Saturday, 6 o'clock first pitch. Pre-game show right here on 103.7 The Game begins at 5:30. Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious podcast joins us as well. But since it's a Friday and it's hour number two, we always start things off with Friday with Fausti, the tremendous sports director for KLFY, who's kind enough to join us yet again. I like you a lot, George, but it's something about Faust and Friday that just works, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, getting set for a weekend of baseball, man. It's an exciting weekend.
My Tigers are playing. Your Rebels are playing. Is your Rebel going to be the next coach at LSU?
That seems to be what everybody's chatting about. It's interesting because he was up for the job, back in 06 or whatever, and then for whatever reason decided to stay put or didn't get it. And I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, it's an obvious choice. He played at LSU, so it makes a lot of sense. I tend to just think that, you know, he's kind of already set in his ways. He's been at Ole Miss so long. Maybe he's happy where he's at, doesn't want to change what he's doing, but you never know. I think he's got a good thing going at Ole Miss. I think he's also, you come to LSU, and LSU's a dominant program, and you're consistently in the national picture with regards to baseball. So if he's looking to move up and do that, I've heard through the grapevines he never wanted to coach his kids. I think right. That's something that he had already always put out there, that he wanted his kids to get a different experience than being coached by their dad in college. So I know that might play into something if that's still the case, so is he going to be the next head coach? I'm leaning towards no. Okay. I think there are some good candidates out there that people may be overlooking a little bit. Maybe a guy like Jeff Willis could go in and interview and maybe check that out. I don't even know if Jeff's interested in that or not, but He's definitely a proven winner. There's no doubt about it at the JUCO level, but he is still a winner. You know, there's some other guys out there that are interested as well.
I had him on Monday, and he is very, very impressive. Look, trust me. With the dollar figures that LSU is going to offer, I'm sure he would be interested. I think, and I don't know this, coaching LSU Eunice is one thing. Coaching LSU is a whole nother thing. That's not to say that Jeff Willis couldn't do it. I don't know if those making the decision would even consider that. Whether right or wrong, I don't know. But, I mean, his resume, gee whiz, how do you beat that? Yeah.
No, I know, right? I mean, it's definitely it'll be a hard sell to get some of the LSU brass, I think, on board with hiring a guy who's done it at a dominant level in JUCO. But look, Southern Miss's coach Scott Berry coached Meridian Community College, and he took them to one or two junior college World Series appearances. They didn't even win it. So, and now he's coaching at Southern Miss, and they just got ousted in the Oxford Regional. So, you can do it. I mean, you can coach it. Here's a good point that a couple of my buddies and I were talking about. Coach Willis has been, he coaches guys that go to LSU and Ole Miss. And it's just, you would have him for more time. Instead of getting him at the junior college level, he could get them in Baton Rouge and have them for three or four years, depending on how good they are. So I don't think that coaching the talent is going to be an issue for Coach Willis. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he's still getting the talented kids that are going to SEC schools or SEC caliber schools. So I don't know. The hard sell is obviously getting people to wrap their mind around hiring a guy who's never had a D1 position, a head coaching position. I think that's the tough part.
I look at just two of the more successful coaches that LSU's ever had. My coach, Dale Brown, was an assistant coach at Utah State, never had been a head coach. He got the job in Baton Rouge because he sold himself, right? He just talked it. And he had the energy to make it work. Skip Bertman was a high school coach. He was an assistant coach at Miami. He wasn't a college head coach. Has anybody been better? I mean, so you just never know is what I'm trying to say. Jeff Willis could end up being a phenomenal college coach. I don't know if he wants it, and I don't know if he does, if LSU would even give him an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting thing to talk about. I think there's a lot there. A lot of the onion to be peeled back.
We always talk about the Cajuns. What's going on in Cajun land? What's happening?
It's the summertime. Summer workouts for football and all that good stuff. Last week they all kind of reported, and Coach Napier's been talking about with regards to football. Anyway, he's been talking about. Trying to implement I think that he said they're in the fourth phase of a six phase or eight phase plan or whatever it is. And so they're in the process of getting ready for that first game, obviously against Texas. That's going to be an interesting one, and kind of building this team's identity, the 21 Cajuns identity, 20 Cajuns were 15th in the country and all that stuff. That's last year. They're looking forward to this, turning the page, so to speak, and getting things ready for their workouts and all that good stuff. I think it's all about moving forward for the Cajuns and with regards to football.
Have you seen an opening line for the Cajuns against the Longhorns in Austin?
I haven't looked at it. I haven't checked on it. I have looked in just kind of just browsing around different things just to see I'd like to go to the game. We'd like to be there, whether it be Madeline or myself. So I was just kind of looking at places to go over there. So I wasn't looking at
right
the line.
But stop.
What's that?
How many years you been at KLFY?
How many? It'll be 19. It is 19 this month.
How many years has Madeline been there?
Madeline's been there too.
Okay. I think you're going to Austin.
Hey, I have no problem relinquishing
I'm
and letting
saying,
her go
dude,
experience.
Seniority. Come on.
No, it's all good, man. If you have the opportunity to, I mean, I've done almost everything there is to do in this business, you know. So I'm a real easygoing cat. So
okay, I don't know what the. Maybe CD, you can go look that up and tell me what the early betting line is for the Cajuns at the Longhorns. New coach, new quarterback, experienced team for the Cajuns coming in. They had the win against Iowa State on the road. I would imagine it's a close little thing there. Maybe the Longhorns favored, home field advantage. Maybe they're favored by 3. I don't know. I have no idea. Huh.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, obviously, being on the road and it's full capacity and all that stuff. So that'll be a different environment than what they had against Iowa State, for sure, last year when they went into Iowa State and beat the Cyclones there. So it'll be a little different. I think the Cajuns
are not sneaking up anymore.
They're
not sneaking up on the Longhorns. I can tell you that Iowa State game, as great of a win as it was, there's always a double-edged sword to that. Like, nobody's taking the Cajuns lightly. Not that Iowa State did, but maybe they did to their chagrin, but the Longhorns won't.
No, right. Yeah, they're on the radar. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I think this is going to be an interesting year because I think the Cajuns, this is the year the Cajuns think they need to win the Sun Belt outright. And I think that's kind of where they're at, you know. You got into the championship game. Ever since the championship game's been in existence, now it's time to kind of step it up and actually assert yourselves as the champ. Because last year was kind of a wash because Coastal pulled out of the game because of the COVID issues, and so we don't really know. The Cajuns might have won it outright this year, this past year.
That is correct.
Anyway.
Terrence Faust, KLFY. Look, I asked you about the coaching opportunity. Let's talk about the Knoxville Super Regional. Who you got, man? What do you think?
Man, Tennessee obviously has been a phenomenal program all year, but something's brewing down here, right? Yeah, LSU's a little perturbed with the Vols, and for some reason. When you play with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, you can bring it a little more. I just was watching Vandy, and I heard Ben McDonald just say that 80%, if you win the first game, 80% of the time that team goes on to win the Super Regional. So if that's the case, that first game is huge. And if I was Coach Maneri, I'd be throwing everything in that first game to try and make that happen, you know. I have a feeling that Tennessee's going to win, going to pull it out, probably in 3, but I think LSU makes it really tight. But a lot of people, like I also think Ole Miss is going to win, so what do I know?
In Arizona, why not?
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
see.
12-5
we'll
upset.
See. All right, we'll be
watching. Let's go to the tournament, the basketball tournament. At 12-5,
yeah.
Let's go.
I'm excited about baseball, and I usually don't get excited about baseball, but I'm excited. I'm going to be watching. So I'll be ready to go.
I love baseball, so I'm always geeked up for a little baseball chat.
I'm with you. Georgie Faust, KLFY, all the highlights of all the games. He'll have it this weekend, he and Madeline Adams. We greatly appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Jordy, thanks so much for having me on. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Fridays with Faust. We'll take a time out here. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. I keep forgetting The Athletic. I don't know why I want to say The Enterprise. It's just crazy. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. We'll talk about the Saints, mini camp, and all that fun stuff next here, The Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7TheGame.com, simulcast on Stadium 32.3. 133 on LUS.
As someone who grew up in New Orleans, there aren't many people that love the Saints quite like Jordy Holtberg. Now let's get back to an original member of Who Dat Nation on 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It's 19 minutes after the hour. We are efforting to get our good friend Jeff Duncan on, getting a little voicemail. Something must be happening. So it's okay. It's called a live radio, and we'll handle it. We'll handle it as best that we can without a shadow of a doubt. Saints minicamp. Michael Thomas wasn't available to the media during the 3 days of the Saints minicamp this week. Sean Payton says the Saints' top receiver is doing well after battling an ankle injury last season. Some of those ankle injuries, I'm telling you, I was fortunate enough that he's good to go now. CD, if you want to give him a call. He just sent me a text. Those high ankle sprains, whatever, can last quite some time. And they need Michael Thomas, who only played in seven regular season games in 2020 after that 2019 season where he was spectacular with 149 receptions. Clint, do we have Jeff yet? I don't even know if Clint's in the studio. Okay, Jeff, are you there?
Yep, good to go.
Hey, Jeff Duncan, how are you, buddy?
Good, Jordy. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. What's happening with the Saints? What's a mini camp? Is it over? The first mini camp? Is it done?
Yeah, they got done on Thursday. So I'm taking a little break for a little period of time. They'll come back with another camp in about a week or two, but everybody's out of town today.
Are you surprised that they are just kind of doing weightlifting and conditioning? You know, when you got a quarterback competition, you're trying to see how some of your players that were injured before, how they're responding and holding up. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, I think it's probably a collaboration of thought between the coaching staff and the veteran leaders of the team. Like, what's the best way for us to attack this off season?
Okay.
Not get worn down. We can get work in, but it'll prepare us best for the actual regular season. So I think it was probably Sean Payton talking to the leadership council on the team and dialing back on the on-field teamwork and concentrating more on conditioning, strength training, and also some individual fundamental work that would lighten the load on the players so they're not, you know, just grinding away here in the offseason.
Jeff, I was talking about Michael Thomas and, you know, getting injured last year. Those ankle injuries can linger and linger and linger. Sean Payton says he's doing well. I guess my big question is, who's going to be the other wide receiver or receivers? Who do you have the most confidence in after Michael Thomas to be a legit threat that's going to maybe put a scare in defenses?
Well, I don't think we know that yet, Jordy. I think it's going to be probably an open competition. I mean, with Emmanuel Sanders not on the team, that created an opening for the number two spot. You'd have to think that Tre'Quan Smith, just by virtue of his experience and the number of reps he's played and some of the big games he's had, would be the front runner for that job. But you also got Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris. I think it'll probably end up being like a committee playing at that position based on matchups and the opposing team, what the skill sets that might be able to exploit some of the weaknesses in the defense. That's how they've kind of done things in the past. If you really think about it, Jordy, just go back to the old Super Bowl days. You know, Marcus Colson was the clear X receiver,
right?
The number one guy. And after that, there really wasn't a difference between Lance Moore or Robert Beachum or Devery Henderson. You kind of had different matchups for different games and who got the most playing time. And I think it could be something like that.
That is true. Jeff Duncan, The Athletic. What do you think happens with the saga in Green Bay with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers? How do you think that turns out?
I'll be stunned if they don't get that worked out. I mean, it's just how it reached this impasse, I have no idea. Obviously, a lack of communication in the relationship. But there's just too much at stake for both sides. Aaron Rodgers loves Green Bay, loves playing for the Packers. They've just got to repair that. There's obviously some water under the bridge that they have to navigate. But I don't see why they don't get that resolved by the start of the season. It's in the vested interest of both sides.
Who's between the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons? Who's the better team?
That's a good question. I think probably the Atlanta Falcons have the most talent. You know, that's a talented offense, even without Julio Jones. And you got a resolved quarterback situation with Matt Ryan and some talented players on defense. I think with Arthur Smith going in there and Terry Fontenot, the resources that Arthur Blank has, I mean, I always feel like Atlanta's been a sleeping giant and should be able to challenge Tampa Bay and New Orleans in a couple of years because of all those assets. I mean, players want to live in Atlanta. It's kind of a destination market for a lot of free agents. So they have a lot of things going for them that they have not taken advantage of over the years. So I kind of feel like they've grossly underachieved in that franchise.
You think Tennessee stole Julio Jones from Atlanta? I mean, what their compensation back to Atlanta for him was?
Well, the market is what it is, right? I mean, he's 32 years old, and he's missed a lot of games the last couple of years, and he's making a ton of money. So all those things, I think, kind of add up to a little bit of a devalue on a talent like Julio Jones. There's some extenuating circumstances with him that I think would some fans would wonder how a player of that caliber, future Hall of Famer, could only command a second round draft pick on the open market. That's the reason why. It's not his talent. It's all the other things that come with him.
Or you remember him at Alabama. I just remember him catching a pass, short pass against LSU, and just outracing everybody to the end zone. He was a man amongst boys.
Oh, he still is. I mean, he's a physical specimen. I don't know if we've seen a physical package like Julio Jones. And now you pair him with A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss, and then another former Bama guy, Derrick Henry, the running back.
Yeah,
those are three physical guys that fit, you know, the philosophy of Mike Vrabel and how they want to run that offense there. I mean, there's no team in the league that has three players like that physically. Yeah. I think they're going to be very much a Super Bowl contender.
I'm with you. Jeff Duncan, The Athletic. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask your thoughts on LSU baseball up in Knoxville for the Super Regional. It should be a great atmosphere. And LSU's playing their best ball right now against a very good Tennessee team.
Yeah, look, I got to admit, Jordy, I counted them out after they lost that first game in Eugene. I just did not see them pulling it off, and hats off to them. What a remarkable story. They earned it, clearly, staving off elimination, winning, you know, on the brink of elimination. And I think they're really in the driver's seat now. They're playing as an underdog. They have nothing to lose. They're going up there. They kind of have the ninth live. And I just feel like they're going to be formidable considering all the pressure is on Tennessee right now.
Maneri called him nasty. Does he ever listen to LSU fans? You talk about nasty. My gosh.
No, I know. It's going to be an incredible environment, but you can't count out LSU. I mean, look what they just did on the road in Oregon. Proved all year long that they can be successful on the road. And I just think, you know, there is something to destiny, and I really believe this team's got confidence and momentum. And I actually think they're going to win this series and write another Cinderella chapter for this pulmonary exit. It's a pretty amazing story.
Wow. I keep having this thought, you know, this team keeps on winning, keeps on going, and they get to the College World Series, and the pitching keeps going, and they end up winning the whole darn thing. And Scott Woodward goes to Paul Menard and says, Paul, are you sure you want to retire, or do you want to come back again? I mean, it's crazy, crazy.
I would not say it's impossible. I mean, the way some of these freshmen have performed, the magic that he worked with the pitching staff, baseball can be that way. You get hot and you get some confidence. And we know that LSU's got the talent. It wasn't talent. They just, for whatever reason, it didn't all come together for them this year. Yeah. And it seemed like they found themselves out in Oregon, and certainly are playing with confidence right now. I would not count them out at all. But
let's face it,
going to Tennessee is not going to be easy. You know, they're a very good team. And yeah. It's going to be fun to watch, though. It's going to be riveting.
I can't wait. Jeff Duncan, The Athletic. I'll end it on this one. We've covered the Saints. We talked a little LSU baseball. I watch these NBA playoffs, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. I'm going like, the Pelicans are so light years away from being like competitive against those teams. And it just brings out on every level of basketball, if you don't have good guard play, you can't win. I'm sorry, Lonzo and Bledsoe, it just doesn't cut the mustard for me.
No, I'm with you. And I think, you know, David Griffin and the rest of the Pelicans brain trust, I know they were on a retreat this week over in Mobile, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, basically hashing out an off-season game plan of how they can get this ship righted. Okay. And I think they're going to be busy in the next few weeks retooling this roster. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, Jordy, on David Griffin, Stan Van Gundy, and everyone involved with the Pelicans to win. I mean, they cannot afford to continue to lose. They just they've got to thread the needle here on some of these personnel moves and rebuild this roster around Zion Williamson and get him some confidence so he can re-sign that long-term contract extension next summer. The clock is ticking, and they cannot afford to let Zion Williamson leave town right on the heels of losing Anthony Davis and Chris Paul before him. I mean, I don't know how the franchise could recover from that.
The three best players that have ever donned on a New Orleans NBA jersey, besides Pistol Pete back in the day, that's great. Can we just get the Jazz to give Utah to give the name back? Man, you talk about a good shooting team, but there's no Jazz in Salt Lake City. Jeff, come on. We need our name back. I've been saying that for 30 years.
I'm with you on the Jazz. I love that name. Yeah, it doesn't make sense in Utah. Although I do, I'm on board with Pelicans over Hornets. I like the Pelicans, that brand. Yes. Hornets never made any sense.
I'm with you. All right, Jeff, enjoy the weekend. If you're going fishing, catch a few. If not, watch the baseball game. And it's always fun talking with you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, Jordy. Have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on, bud. We'll talk
soon.
You
got it. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. It's that time of the day, that day of the week. The Three Amigos picking games next.
You're listening to the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game. It's the only show that delivers hot takes from way downtown.
All right, welcome back on this Friday, June the 11th. If you've listened to this show, then you know it's time to bring in my two buddies, CD, back in the First South Farm Credit Studios. And I don't know where George Becknell is today, but he's out there somewhere. Good afternoon, George, via Zoom on Stadium 32.3 and LUS 133. How you doing, man?
Jordy, I'm fantastic. I'm on a golf course, just slicing like no tomorrow, but I'm doing well.
That must be nice. Good for you. Thank you for stopping the game and joining us, man. I appreciate that.
Man, it's my pleasure. I'm playing with a buddy of mine. We're sitting under a tree until we're done.
Okay, well, tell him just to relax, drink another cold one, and everything will be good.
I relay the message.
All right, we'll get to LSU and Tennessee. Let's do some super regional picks with all the SEC schools, and CD, we'll get you to chime in as well. It starts tonight in Fayetteville. the number one seeded, number one ranked Arkansas Razorbacks against a very good NC State team. Arkansas, people thought they would steamroll through their regional, but no, they didn't. So maybe not as easy. And Kevin Copps has been pitching like forever and a day. How much more arm does he have? The all-world pitcher for the Hogs. What do you think, Arkansas, NC State, George?
Yeah, Jordan, I'm with you in the sense that they rely on him way too much. But I think I'm going to give the edge to Arkansas because they've been the best team, in my opinion, all season. I think it takes all three games for Arkansas to pull it out, but I do think they get it done. So I think we'll see Wu Pig Sui in Omaha.
Yeah, their fans are something. Copps sent the Hogs one step closer to the College World Series. The tournament MVP CD tossed 7 shutout innings in relief, allowing only 3 hits, striking out 8. It must have a rubber band arm. But, CD, what do you got, Arkansas, NC State?
Jordy, for me, I think I got to go with Arkansas here. I don't see the Wolfpack doing anything out of the ordinary. It's going to be Arkansas. They'll be going to Omaha. And it's been a pretty easy walk for them when it comes right down to it. It's easy to go chalk. I'm kind of going that route.
I'm with you on that one as well. Already underway, and maybe the next LSU baseball coach comes out of this Nashville Super Regional. Tim Corbin of Vanderbilt has been mentioned. Cliff Godwin of East Carolina has been mentioned. It's number 4 seed versus a number 13 seed. George, what you got?
Oh, I got Vandy. No disrespect to Eastern Carolina, but man, Vandy's been a good baseball program for the last few years. They've got all the experience. Give me Vanderbilt to win in 2.
In 2. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm looking at it right now, but you're on the right track, George, because Vandy shut out the Pirates 2-0 today. So they've got a 1-game-to-zip lead. Does this thing go 3, Clint? Or does let's see, who pitched today?
It was Kumar.
Okay, Kumar pitched today, so Leiter will pitch tomorrow. Can East Carolina hang in there and get one?
I don't necessarily think so, Jordy, especially when you got Jack Leiter on the bump. We saw what he was able to do against LSU not too long ago. So I got to go with a proven victor, and I think we go with Jack Leiter getting it done and lighting them up on the way to a Omaha berth once again for Tim Corbin and crew.
All right, so we got 2 SEC schools making it to Omaha. Does Ole Miss make it number 3? They're on the road at Tucson, the Tucson Super Regional, taking on the 5th seeded Arizona Wildcats. The Wildcats roll through their regional tournament. They won 3 straight, but Ole Miss, I don't know, something about him. And Mike Bianco, another one of those candidates for the LSU baseball job. This gets underway tonight in Tucson. George, do the Rebels make it 3 teams from the SEC in Omaha?
I don't think they do. I think Arizona's way too good, and I'd love for Ole Miss to lose and Mike Bianco to come to Baton Rouge to come back home where you play with Tim McDonald. So I think it's a perfect world. Arizona wins in 2, but I'll do Ole Miss a favor and give them a game. So give me Arizona 2 out of 3.
I just, Clint, I just don't know if Tim Elko can hit multiple grand slams again on that torn ACL like he did in the regional for the Rebels. He was something. You got the Wildcats or the Rebels, CD?
Jordy, I gotta go with Ole Miss. I gotta pull from Fausti's team to get it done. And I feel like there's not a doubt in my mind they're going to perform at a very high level this coming weekend heading into this big series. I absolutely have loved the Tim Elko story out there being like Kirk Gibson. That's the big reason why I'm going to go ahead and pull for the Rebels to advance here over Arizona, a team who a few years ago actually wound up beating the Cajuns in regional play. I think that was back in 2016.
Yeah. Zona, very good baseball program. They've had 20 NCAA regional championships heading to its 5th super regional. They've been quite successful in the past with a 3-1 record. So this will be their 5th. I just like Ole Miss. It's something about them. I just think the competition they've faced, they're swinging big sticks. Call me a homer. I love Mike Bianco. Give me the Rebels. Give me the Rebels. All right. In Starkville, George, this is a good one. 7th-seeded Mississippi State, 10th-seeded Notre Dame. This is a Saturday, Sunday, and if necessary, Monday. They're going to have those grills cooking in the outfield in Starkville, but Notre Dame's pretty darn good. Who you got?
Yeah, Jordy, this is probably going to be the best Super Regional. I know Mississippi State has been really, really good, but I just like Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame to get it done. So give me Notre Dame in 3 in Starkville.
Okay. Mississippi State has the longest current Super Regional streak in college baseball. They're heading to their 5th straight round of 16. So they got something going on there. CD, you got the Bulldogs or the Touchdown Jesus Fighting Irish?
Jordy, it's Rudy in the duty. That's absolutely going to be an amazing series this coming weekend. I got to go with Mississippi State. They're gonna establish dominance. I feel like I've got a sweep feeling right now.
I love the home crowd, a home field advantage. Here we go again. I got every SEC school getting in there. So give me the Bulldogs, by golly. Give it to me. All right, here comes the main one. One SEC school has to lose. So we got Tennessee, LSU. It gets underway tonight, 6 o'clock, right here on 103.7 The Game. Turn up the sound of the radio. Turn down the volume on television. It'll be on ESPN2. George, give me your thoughts on the Tigers and those nasty, nasty Tennessee Volunteer players and fans.
So I'm aware that Tennessee swept LSU.
Yeah.
But all the games were close.
Yeah.
If you look at these Tigers and what they've been able to do lately, Bianco's carrying a big stick. Duga is carrying a big stick.
Yeah.
Fontenot is rested, you know, because he didn't even pitch in the last game. And I don't know, Jordan, something about those gold jerseys in June. Things happen that don't make sense. Anytime a pitcher balks with a runner on first.
Yeah.
That's never stolen a base ever.
Crazy.
It's just meant to be, Jordy. So call me a homer. The Fighting Tigers,
okay, Homer,
get it done. Yeah,
okay,
right.
Homer. I like
the
that, Homer.
The Fighting Tigers getting done. Get it you, done.
You and your Carolina blue Michael Jordan Tar Heel shirt there.
Well, it's my Southern University gear.
There you go. Okay,
it's for Southern. So I'm being a real homer. LSU Southern, but
I like it. All right, CD, you got the Tigers or the Volunteers?
I got to go with the Tigers, Jordy. I think it's just the fact that this team is playing with a lot of motivation. So there's no doubt in my mind that LSU advances and survives. I think this is going to go 3. I think you wind up seeing it's the fact that you've got game 1. It's the virtual unknown. I know Paul Menieri is talking right now about what things look like. I haven't seen yet who's going to wind up getting the start, but I can about imagine that you could very well be going a little bit backwards and maybe A.J. Labus in game 1. Oh, excuse me, it's going to be Mekhi Hillier game 1 tomorrow versus Tennessee. Then you have Marceau game 2 and then Labus game 3.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I'm a little more confident with them winning it in 2 in this one.
CD's got that Twitter feed working, man. He gets the updates constantly.
I follow like a billion people, Jordy.
I thank you for that. That's good. So, Mekhi Hillier gets the start. And I would never give this advice, but this Drew Gilbert dude, I would make him hit the dirt. I would throw so high and so tight and get him thinking. Gilbert's the guy that launched the Vols were down 3 runs in the bottom of the 9th in the regional, and Gilbert hit one into the night for a walk-off grand slam. It was Tennessee's 7th walk-off win of the season. 2 of those 7 came against LSU, and the Vols got to their first super regional since 2005. I've been saying it all day. The Vols are the country club of Louisiana. LSU is the Baton Rouge country club. Baton Rouge, LSU's that old, established, deep-pocketed, thick money, and Tennessee is that nouveau riche. I just believe in the in the power of the Tigers, even though they don't have Giovanni DiGiacomo. I just like the way they're playing. Dugas, I love the freshman. Give me LSU to win this thing, but I do believe it will go three games. I do believe it'll go three. So we're all in agreement. We did not disagree on any of those, and I like that. Let's go to the NBA, and the Jazz are just good. But we've got tonight, guys, we've got two more ball games. As the in the Eastern Conference, the series between the Sixers and the Hawks shifts to the ATL with that series tie with the 76ers tied at a game apiece. Who you got winning game three, George?
You know, Jordan, I got to go to Hawks. You know, I like what they've been able to do. They win in Philadelphia. They took game one. They got a split on the road. That's all you want. In the playoffs, Trae Young has been playing out of his mind. I love the pick and roll with him and Capella. This has just been a fantastic, well-built team, and they've been doing some damage in the East. So give me the Hawks in game three at home.
All right. CD, what do you think?
I got to go with the Atlanta Hawks, at least taking the first game at home. That said, this has been a really fun series, probably the most interesting out of all of them so far. I think we're going to see Atlanta take care of business because if they lose here, oh boy, it's gonna be a tough one because they somehow were able to eke out a win on Sunday against the Sixers, but then the Sixers just stomped their faces in game two. So yeah, the momentum's in the favor of the Sixers, but I'm hoping it's a little more competitive and the Hawks can come away with game number three.
I don't know how you stop or slow down Joel Embiid. Trae Young's going to have to get some help. They've been shifting, putting bigger guys on him, making him give the ball up. The key to this game is the Hawks got to get out to a good start and get their confidence back up, and then I think their fans will propel them. So I got the Hawks winning game three tonight. Phoenix goes on the road, taking on the Denver Nuggets. It's now or never for the MVP, Jokic, and the Nuggets as they trail 0-2 to the Suns. Does Chris Paul make it to the Western Conference Finals? Who you got tonight, George?
Well, Jordan, to answer that last question, I think Chris Paul does make it to the Western Conference Finals, but I don't think he wins tonight. I think Jokic has been playing well on the MVP, but he hasn't gotten much help. You go back to your own gym, your own routine, you sleep in your own bed, and all of a sudden shots start falling that weren't falling on the road. So I think he's going to get some help from Michael Porter Jr. and the rest of that crew. So I expect Denver to win at home after being called out by the head coach game three, but I'm not feeling good about Denver for the rest of the series.
All right. CD, who you got?
I got to go with – I think you see Denver wind up coming away with a win here. It's going to be over there. You don't lose this one. It's all over with the grind. I think Denver does come away with the win at home.
I'm going with Phoenix. That backcourt of CP3 and Booker, I don't trust the guard play of Denver at all. When they lost Jamal Murray, they're a different club. I just think Phoenix is on a mission. I love Monty Williams. I love what they've got. I'm going with the Phoenix Suns to get game three and put Denver out of its misery. There you go. That's my thought. Any other things? Any other things going on, CD? What about any fights this weekend?
Oh, we got UFC 263 coming up this weekend. I know next month is the Muy Grande card, but this one's pretty good. The main event, Israel Adesanya taking on Marvin Vettori. That's going to be a fantastic main event. The co-main's not half bad either. Brandon Moreno going to be squaring off with Figueiredo. Just a really solid card. Even got Nate Diaz in action on that main card. I cannot wait. Hopefully, it's just like the last couple of cards, now that we've had fans back in the stands, have been outstanding. I'm hoping we continue that trend this weekend.
Is Fight Island still around?
No, Fight Island's done, Jordy, because you don't have to worry about COVID restrictions and stuff. So now you've got, obviously, they're in Glendale, Arizona tonight, and they'll be for UFC 264. They'll be back in Vegas, at the T-Mobile Arena before long for UFC 264 out in Vegas for that big Poirier-McGregor fight to cap off probably a great International Fight Week.
There you go. All right. George, anything else?
I mean, Floyd Mayweather just beat up a YouTuber. No.
Who cares?
This week, Kevin Durant is going to pick up a fan out the stands and play one-on-one on Showtime.
Man, why don't you let your partner hold the camera and let's see that golf swing you got?
You want to see it?
No.
We're out of time.
You might confuse me with Charles Barkley. I'm not ready yet.
Go hit the ball. Thanks for stopping the game, man. I appreciate it, buddy. Take care. Enjoy
pleasure.
Your weekend.
Y'all take care.
CD, well done. Thank you so much. We'll be back. We'll wrap up this show this week here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Simulcast Stadium 32.3, 133 LUSC. If I asked him to swing, then I'd have to go and do it myself. And, oof, it's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Time to open up the vault for the 103.7 The Game's This Day in Sports History.
June 11th, 1997. Michael Jordan scores 38 points and hits the game-clenching three-pointer in a 90-88 Chicago Bulls win over the Utah Jazz in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, famously known as the Flu Game. That was This Day in Sports History. We now return to 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station, simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Well, we all know if you watched The Last Dance, it wasn't the flu game, it was the food poisoning game. But still, Michael Jordan. Tune in Saturday for 103.7 The Game's lineup of live and local shows. It kicks off with First Cup, presented by Bailey's Cigar Room from 7 to 9, followed by Under the Dome with CD from 9 to 11. Tune in Saturday, 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. If today, June 11th, is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share yours with one of the all-time legendary greats. Happy 65th birthday to Joe Montana. Joe Montana from Notre Dame to San Francisco, Bill Walsh, and boy, what a run. Montana to Rice. Whew, what a team. And we had to play him. The Saints had to play him all the time, and it was just wasn't fun. Just was not fun. Special thanks to all of our guests today. Bill Franquez up in Knoxville. Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious podcast. George Faust from KLFY. Jeff Duncan from The Athletic. George Becknell on the golf course. CD inside the First South Farm Credit Studios. And yours truly here, Studio 1A. Maybe Monday who knows, maybe LSU, Tennessee are playing, and if so, they may be playing at 3 o'clock, they may be playing at 6 o'clock, who knows? We'll keep you up to speed, keep it locked here on 103.7 The Game. Hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. Thanks so much for listening in. Thanks to our partners that make it happen. We'll be back Monday, 2 o'clock, ready to roll. Until then, I am Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay healthy, my friends. Stay happy, my friends. Go get them, Tigers. Go kick the Vols' butts.